today I would like to talk about building openoffice.org. Openoffice.org is a community project, as you probably know, because you are here. And during the last days, you have heard several sentences about that, that the build is hard and there are many problems and so on. I will discuss two main points here. The first one is what to build, and the second one is actually how to build what you get in the first step. The first part will be more extensive because this year Martin Hohmichel doesn't have his presentation about child workspaces, master workspaces, core lines and development milestones and other similar stuff. So the first part of my presentation will be about this. So do you know what actually building is? It is almost a computer discipline to build the software, because there are several methods to build the software, and Wikipedia, Internet Encyclopedia, contains this small description of the process of building, also called a software build, because we are also in the building, so English is very strange. So we'll of course talk about building the software. Building the software is a process of converting the source code of the software to another form. Sometimes it is interpreted code. Sometimes it is a binary code, and in case of OpenOffice.org, it's a mix of several of these methods, because we are converting Java files into class files. We are converting C++ source code to binary code, and so on. If you parse the sentence, you will see two problems. You have to have the source code, and you have to convert it. So this is the reason why the presentation is divided into two parts. The first one talking about source code, and the second one about the process of converting the source code to the binary. Yes. So where to get the source code? OpenOffice.org project is using CVS right now for source code management, and we are preparing the migration to Subversion thanks to Kai, who is working on migration of our tools that we are using to make our processes easier and transparent.
Neither.
Sorry? Yes, of course. Of course. I always forget our some friends who are actually doing 50, 60, 70, 80, 90% of the real work. This is, of course, automatic. So before describing the processes and the structure of OpenOffice or project using CVS, I will first describe how typical small projects we are used to that are free software or open source, how they use CVS. The usage of CVS is very simple. They have a straight code line, one code line. In the CVS terminology, it's called head, and they do develop on it. They develop, and after some time, they think they should release something to the users. So they enter a so-called stabilization phase. It's marked as red on the very simple graph. And they try to stabilize their code. Then they release, for example, version 1.0. And the technical process of release is very simple. They simply take their current code that they have in CVS, use so-called CVS tag command to tag the release tree the current status, and then they can continue working on the next version. This is the same for versions 101, 102, and after some time, very often it is longer than the time between minor releases. They work on the major version, and also the stabilization of that version is a bit longer than previous version. So if you compare the stabilization phase for version 2, it is much longer than stabilization of minor versions after 1.0. This is the typical process of very small projects. Do you see problems that this model can bring to developers of such projects? Yeah, it's actually very simple. When they are in the stabilization phase, they do not commit the development features, the features that are in development, because they're stabilizing now, so they can't commit new features there. Of course, this method is almost unusable when you are working in several teams and your team is spread over the world and so on. It's getting worse now. So how OpenOffice.org is using CVS? OpenOffice is using almost all features of CVS, and actually at some points we had to use some other tools that are not available in clean CVS. We had to simulate functionality that is not available in CVS. On the previous slide, you have seen one so-called code line. This is the typical usage of CVS. You have only one code line, and if you haven't read branch info page of CVS, this is only feature you can use. But OpenOffice is a bit hard in its CVS usage, because right now we work on version number 2.0.nnumber. Right now it is number 4, and we also had to release security relevant stuff for previous releases, for example version 1.1.5 or maybe in the future version 1.1.6. So we have to use several code lines. This means we can't use so-called head for the development. We are using the feature named branches. This graph is very very accurate. It describes the process very clearly. SRX645 was a code line for version 1.something. We had several releases. At some time, we decided to split the code line and do the development for the next development version, for version 2.0. And right now we are on this code line. We will surely do several releases on this code line, and hopefully in the near future, we will decide to split again to be able to work on 2.0 code line, and also be able to invent new features, new stuff, major re-implementations for version number 3 in code line SRC690. This graph is not zoomed enough. It is a first level. And I will continue to dive into several parts of the graph in more details on next slides.
Question.
Yeah.
Are these 645 and 680, are they just random numbers, or is there something called 646 after 679 also?
Actually, no. But I think these numbers are connected with previous numbering used is in Star Office release engineering teams and with Star Office version numbers. But actually, SRC690 is my guess on the version number of the feature code line. So we will look at the current code line. It's called SRC680, and we are preparing really releases of version 2 dot something on it. The first release on that code line was 2.0. At least if I remember correctly. Well, we have the code line that is for version 2, and we released several versions on that code line. For every version we are releasing, we have to create another branch, because we do not want to slow down the regular development in the release phase. So in the release phase, we are actually working on two code lines. One of them is 2.0 code line that is going straight to version 2.? Because we do not know the version yet. And at some point, we decide to stabilize our version and release some version. So we actually split the branch and create new branch named 00B, and the number is the same as the major code line. When we finish that code line, we will stop here and we will again continue on the code line, on the current code line. After some time, it's 3 to 6 months, we again realize that we have something to release, so we will again split the branch and prepare the next release. So the graph in the bottom, on the bottom, is another zoom to the previous graph. This graph is illustrating the current release branch for the version to be released. It is numbered 204, and right now we have milestone number 3, I think, and we decided to call it release candidate 1. This is the illustration of a release branch. You can see that there are several lines that cross the code line. We call them milestones. The milestone is a snapshot on that code line. We do milestones to allow people to have something stable so they can work on it. And of course, it also helps us to release something that is stable. It's a tag in CVS, so we can produce its source code and share the same source code between developers. Actually, the current status right now is that the last milestone created is 00D680_EM3. It is release candidate 1 of version 204. Unfortunately, we had several issues with release candidate 1, so we will produce release candidate 2. It will be the next milestone on this release branch _EM4. So we will zoom another level. The current code line SRC680. It is the current development code line, and the milestones are numbered as you can see on the graph. The current version is M184. The milestone 1185 will be released next week. So we can zoom even farther. What happens between milestones? This is where the real development is integrated, because the teams that are working on new features, bug fixes, and so on, are using the separate tree separate trees so they do not affect other people. So they first test, they changes, they fixes their new code in their own branch, on their own playground, where no one else can see this. It doesn't affect them, but they can work on something and share it. It's called child workspace. So this is a simple child This is a simple child workspace I created in my mind. It's not actually created. Do not try it. It's actually only a demo. It's called Demo 67. Demo as demo, and 67 is a random number I have chosen because this is a typical naming scheme people use to name their child workspaces. This child workspace was created when the milestone M181 was created. So people who are working on this child workspace, on this playground, are all based on version 181. And even if we have version M184 right now, they are still working on the previous version because they want to have something stable, something that everyone knows what it is and what to add to that child to that goal, to that milestone. So they have a separate branch. They work on it. They do fixes. They create new files there and so on. And when they are ready, when they are finished with their work, they are so-called ready to integrate it. But integration is not that easy because if a group of people is working on something, it is better if you check their work. And it is very often it is an advantage if the checking if the real check is done by someone else. It's called QA in software engineering processes. So after they finish their work, they then hand over the child workspace to QA team, and QA team can start their work on it. We all hope that everything is okay, and the child workspace is ready to be integrated back into the main code line. In this picture, in this graph, it looks like that child workspace demo 67 is integrated at milestone 185, and starting from that milestone, we can use all the fixes that are in this child workspace. So this is the zooming into the development model of OpenOffice.org. It maybe sounds too strange or too bureaucratic, but actually it's very 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 good because it prevents problems like we can't work because we are in stabilizing phase. We can work on several features touching the same code at the same time, and so on. This is not possible in the straight model I have shown in the on the first slide. So I hope you are not stressed about too many graphs, and I will continue with simple questions: what to build. Actually, it is not that easy to answer this question, because it depends. If you understand all these graphs, it depends on you what you want to build. If you want to build the latest released version, you have only one chance to do that: fetch the old code of the from FTP server or from CVS, because we tag every version. But you have to remember what milestone it was, or you can use fixed tag that we used to tag the released versions. For released versions, it is very simple. Now to hard stuff. development. If you want to build development milestones on any code line, you simply use the branch name to check the source files, or you can use someone else tarball that he has created. I'm packaging every milestone for me because it is much easier to create the tarball on one machine with fast internet access, and I upload it to my FTP server, FTP Linux CZ, because it's much easier to download one tarball that is worth 300 megabytes than check everything from CVS and downloading 1 gigabyte of data. So it is much easier to download tarball. This is one step into development, building milestones. Every milestone before it is published is going through QA process where Hamburg QA team is doing some basic check on it, and also some community members are pre-checking the milestones that are not yet released but are already tagged in the source tree. It helps to prevent many problems, and actually we can prevent some communication problem between Hamburg release engineering team and the community, because Hamburg team doesn't use configure environment that we use. So we are actually pre-checking the milestone. Another step into development is interesting for people who want to track the actual development of child workspaces. Child workspace is not complete source tree. It contains only several modules, the modules that the development team wants to use in their development. So if you want to build child workspace, you need something more than the child workspace. You need the base milestone. I will show it on the previous slide. Child workspace demo 67 is based on milestone 181. So if you want to build child workspace demo 67, you have to fetch the milestone M181, and then you have to fetch the modules that are in child workspace demo 67. This is one method of working with child workspaces. Another method is a bit unclean, but can also be used in some special cases. In fact, in most cases, child workspace is created in a way that you mark the complete source tree at its current status with one tag. We call it anchor, and the real development is done so that it's tagged with another tag. It's not actually tag, but it's branch. But you have two points, and you can diff between them, and you can take this diff on that child workspace and actually apply it to the base milestone. It is a bit different process. It only applies for source code because it is very very hard to diff two binary files. If child workspace is changing some image, it's very hard to apply binary diffs. It is possible, but it's quite hard. So you have two methods to build base milestone and child workspace. But to get it, it's actually very easy. We have two CVS servers. One CVS server is anonymous CVS, and you can download. Everyone has read access there, and everyone can download the source code. Another CVS server is used for developers, and they can both read and write there if they have enough rights. The preferred way is, of course, download from sites for released versions. We do not produce sources for source tarballs for base milestone and child workspace. Only exceptionally, the build is uploaded also with the source code, because we have CVS, so there is no reason to produce every turbo for every milestone. Right now we are at M184, and the source code is 300 megabytes, so you can count how it could take. So the second part will be about real building. First, I thought that this will be the major part, but actually, I think the first part was more important. So we have the source code, and we want to cast it, create binary from it. It's actually very easy for typical free software projects. You just download it, unpack it, configure it, make install it, try it, remove it, and download the binary RPM from your distributor. In fact, this doesn't work for OpenOffice, because you are using Ubuntu and you have to use DAPS, or you are using Mac OS 10, and we are not producing official binaries for Mac OS 10, or they are still not QA'd and so on. So sometimes it happens that you have to build it to actually try it. It is not preferred way to try OpenOffice.org, of course. You have the best way to try is to download the binary either from the project, or if you are using blind distribution from your distributors, CDs or another media. But if you really want to build it, you can, of course. It's also, we have the source code, we can build it. There are several phases you have to go through. The first one is preparation of built environment. Actually, this is the worst part, because you can spend between two numbers today. 6 months was the first one, and 2 days was another one. So you can estimate how it could take to you. Actually, it is pretty easy if you are using source packages from your Linux distributor, because they already did all the work you have to do. So if you want to save your time, just go with source package distributed by your vendor. If you can't, you have to prepare the environment. And actually, it is interesting, because you have to use some compiler. Of course, compiler depends on your operating system. You have to use some prerequisites, some external code. For example, if you want to build the complete source, you can download also the Mozilla source code into your build and so on. I have separated build pre-requirements into two pieces. The first part is the common part. You need all these all this stuff on all platforms. We need the system called AND. It's something like make for Java projects. Java developers are used to AND and build XML files to build Java projects. So as we use several Java-based projects, we have to use also AND for our build. So not only you need GCC and so on, you need also AND as a system to build some sub projects. Another interesting prerequisite is, I can't read it, it's for Windows, so you can read it on slides. We have the author of this prerequisite here, so you can really ask him why it is needed and so on. It is strange that on all systems, really it is needed, on all systems, you need this binary. The problem is pretty simple. as part of the build, we are building a software development kit SDK. You can use this SDK for also for building products, extensions for Windows. You can build these extensions for Windows also on Linux. And for some reasons that are stated on I hope in our documentation, and if they are not, we surely have some issue to do so. You have to use also this binary on when you are building GNU Linux. Of course, this library is not linked into any binary. It's only packed together to SDK. If you are adventurous, you can build it yourself, even on GNU Linux-based systems. But of course, this means you need cross-compiler environment and so on. Another pre-requirement, in fact, it is optional right now, is general Polygon Clipper library that is used to compute various paths on polygons and stuff like that. You can forget about it if you are building with internal implementation of these algorithms. But if I remember correctly, the official binaries are produced using this library as well. Sorry?
That's right.
Yes. I heard that's crap. Another pre-requirement is Mozilla. We are actually using only a very small part of Mozilla for things like address book and so on. So you have several ways to include Mozilla into the build. You can use pre-built libraries that are available on our site, or you can build the stuff that is actually needed yourself. And then you need another set of requirements. For example, GTK2 for GNU Linux, or some other stuff for Windows and so on. Then we have small requirements like Perl module archive, archive zip, and so on. Many of these requirements are stupid. Why? For example, the Perl module. It is implementing packing files into zip. We actually have at least two implementations of this algorithm in OpenOffice.org source tree. There is at least zlib library, and I think we actually have to use the program zip as a requirement as well. So in fact, this is redundant if you look at it on the first side, but on the second side, there can be small problems. Like it is a bit easier for developers to use Perl modules because the program that they have to hack zipping files into is already in Perl, so it's very easy to import Perl module and use it for them instead of calling external binary zip or using the implementation of zlib library. But it's status quo, and if you want to help us to get rid of these prerequisites, you are welcome, and you can help us. And some people even try to extend the set, so it's a tough fight between developers who simply want to code, and if they need something else, they simply add it as prerequisite on the one side, and the other side wants to have easy building, but it's not that easy because the project is very large. So this is the common part of build pre-requirements, and of course there is operating system specific part of the requirements. On many systems, on all systems, of course you need compiler and similar development related stuff. like Benutils on Geno Linux, linkers on Geno Linux, G++ part of GCC, and so on and so on. I do not list them all here because we have so-called build guides, and I will talk about that later. On some systems, you can make your life easier by using different tools. For example, on GNU Linux and other Unix-based systems, you can use caching compiler, ccache. It's a product from Samba team, and they use it to speed up their builds to speed up regular building of Samba. Because if you change one line, you of course do not need to recompile complete source code, but they are using it to speed up their builds. And of course it has its use in openoffice.org building. As I said, it is only available on Unix systems because you can't use it with for example cl.exe on Windows. Actually, having similar tools on Windows would be unbelievable, and I will pay for it. So we have everything set up, and we can start the build. It's very easy, really. But you have to know what arguments you have to give to configure. My configure line is about 400 characters long. So if your terminal has 80 characters, you can imagine how long it is. Yeah, it's terrible. We have configure in directory config_eoffice. The reason is very simple. OpenOffice.org source tree is divided into modules, and every module is a directory on top level of the source tarball, which actually means that we have no files at top level. So this means we can't have configure at top level. It is actually very simple, and we will try to do something with it in the future. Yep.
More or less a new question. Configuring help. Sometimes I build it using OOO build, and what I understood that have other options in OOO build, but not is of a configure
yes.
script or is, and the help not is updated.
Yes. So actually, this is you are trying to tell us that you are using configure in OOO build. OOO build has its own configure that then
but
calls configure of OpenOffice.org. If I'm right, so. This means that if you call configure -- help, you are calling help from OOO build.
No.
Am I right? Yes. No. Of course, our configure help is not perfect as well, but I think we are better than OOO build.
I use the configure in Windows and OOO build in Linux.
Yeah.
Linux. But I remember that have an option vendor.
Yes, this option is only available in OOO build. There is no such option in.
But have some options that I think that is from configure.
Yeah, maybe they pass some parts of your command line to OOO configure. But actually, I do not know the system. You have to ask on mailing list of OOO build.
Yeah.
So you to configure OpenOffice.org build, you simply go into directory config_office and call configure with your arguments. command line options. If you don't know what to do or you haven't saved your previous config, your command line, you can use -- help to get detailed help. In fact, this help is a bit more detailed than you can expect. It is very, very long. So just use it for as a reference only. Do not try to find the information you want. Just run configure -- help through pipe and read it in your editor, because I don't think that every terminal has a so long buffer to scroll up. So, what arguments you need to enter? Very often, you need to specify various environment related paths. For example, the path to your compiler, the path to your Java, to your JDK, and other similar stuff. Of course, you can specify more things. For example, if you want to disable building Mozilla, you enter -- disable Mozilla argument. If you want to enable GNOME virtual file system, you can use another argument, and every argument you can use is documented. So if you really want to optimize your build to your needs, just read the complete help. Of course, where we document arguments are documented in the help, but we do not document all arguments in our build documentation. We call them build guides, and these build guides are supposed to reflect the current status of development guides, development environment. I use the word "are supposed to," so they are supposed to reflect the current status. So if we in the future will change the build, for example, if we add some mandatory pre-requirement, we are supposed to add it to this documentation, because otherwise there is no real documentation for building OpenOffice. We have
Sorry? Why is that in the wiki instead?
Very good question.
Yes, I think we already decided to move the build guides to wiki and use the site's build guides to latest stable version. So the development version will be in wiki, and after the development version is stabilized, we will move the document to the site where it is static. If you want to help us, we will be happy. We have several build guides. Every operating system has its own guide. In fact, I think there are two build guides for Windows, because you can build using two separate shells. You can use the community path. We are using Sidewind TC shell or now Bash for building, but Hamburg release engineering team is using 4NT shell, because it is much faster when accessing network stuff. It is too slow in community approach using Bash or TC shell. So I forgot to tell you that we are using yet another make. Typical free software project is using GNU make. We already introduced AND into our processes for Java stuff, and of course we are using yet another make. It's called DMake. DMake source code is integral part of OpenOffice.org source code. It is maintained by Volker Pečka, who is using OpenOffice.org CVS to actually maintain the version. So it is the make project that has its roots at least right now in the OpenOffice.org source code. So we have to build it first. For building a DMake, we use the simple shell script called Bootstrap. Its sources are located in config_eoffice directory, and this file is created after you successfully configure openoffice.org. Actually, this file is created on the top level directory when you unpack your sources. There's another file that is created after you successfully configure. It is called makefile.mk, and it is equivalent of makefiles for DMake. I won't dive into details because the presentation would be very long.
I think actually Bootstrap is great enough.
Sorry?
Actually Bootstrap is great enough after configure. So it's not an unsigned, it's after
Yes, Bootstrap is created after you successfully configure OpenOffice as well. Yeah.
I don't wonder if Bootstrap doesn't build DMake. Because if you already have DMake, you don't build it anymore.
Yes, if you have a DMake in your system, it happens if you have, for example, Debian or other distributions, you can use system DMake. It could bring you several problems. For example, right now we are working on integrating new features into DMake, and it can happen that the old make files can be incompatible with the new version. So or you can see many warnings during when you are using old version of DMake, or otherwise. It is not that easy to use separate DMake because DMake is in development.
You also see many warnings if you use separate DMake.
Yes, and there are sometimes errors. Yes. So now we have DMake, and the only thing we have to do is to run DMake in the top level directory, and we can go for holiday and wait 2 or 3 or 4 days. In ideal case it is as simple. Sometimes there are problems. If you have problems during your build, do not hesitate to ask. You can use mailing list or IRC channel, and we are pretty fast to help almost everyone. Of course, there are cases where the problem is much deeper and we can't solve it online or via mail, but we are trying to solve everything. Sometimes people confuse DMake and build, because there's a parallel script named buildpl in openoffice.org environment. DMake is trying to read the file makefile mk in the current directory and do what is there. The build script is a different beast. Build is using for building modules. We have several modules on top level of our source code, and if you enter the command build, it is trying to find the file build lst, and it does stuff that is described there. Build lst files describe directories that contain makefile and k files. So you can think of build as a tool that calls many dmake on their makefile.mk files. This means that you can also use the script build to build openoffice.org, because we have one module that is named inst_set_eoo that requires every other module to be built, and it actually is the last module in the build process. So if you change your working directory into this module and call build, you can expect that everything else will be built. So you can use both methods, and for example, I used DMake in past 4 years, And recently I switched to build because the command build has another set of arguments. One of them is used to produce HTML file with the current status of your build. So if you run the command build with some arguments in directory inset underscore EOO, you can periodically reload that HTML file and watch the current status of your build. It's actually very useful if you are building on more systems and you do not have direct access to them and so on.
One correction, if you are executing build in Citadel or native and you want one more use, you have to specify the active node. Because otherwise you will just try to build in Citadel or native.
Yes. One of the final phases of the build is creating installation sets. It is so slow that even the installation team created a child workspace for creating zip files and tar.gz files today. So actually, even the authors of this part are thinking about making this process faster or easier. So when native 61 child workspace is integrated into the development milestones, development milestone, we will finally see tar.gz files produced from the build process, and we can skip the slowest part of the build, creating installation sets. For example, on GNU Linux, you can create RPM files, Debian packages. On Mac OS X, you can create DMG disk images. On Windows, we are creating ANSYS-based installers. These files are large .exe files containing everything, and so on.
Excuse me.
Yep.
You said that the slowest part. So how does it compare compilation itself and creation of the installation packages?
I think you can find system where the complete compilation can be 1/10 of. Now, you can find system where final installation creation, creating installation sets, is 1/10 of the complete build process. But it really depends on how fast is your disk and so on.
And you said that the whole build process takes about 5 weeks or more.
It depends on your system. But typical system when you are building GNU Linux RPM packages on a fast machine with only one language, English, US, the build takes, for example, 6 hours, and the final packaging can take 10 or 15 minutes, for example. But actually, it's very slow on Windows. It's terrible on Windows. Yeah. Depends on the machine.
So what Windows SDK packaging is what takes time. For some reason the SDK is 10 times slower.
Yes, the main problem there is that you are packaging the tar file again and again every time you build the directory. This is one problem. There are other problems. There are so many files that it has to take time, but not that much. The same problem is with our content too. It's terrible to build. If you are building for 40 languages, it can take a day to build everything. In that module in our content too, it's really really slow. It actually supports them. I'm building installations for some languages, and I'm building draw installation sets, for example, for Thai. Yes, we can even build installation sets with all languages. Yes. Yeah, we can build them. You just enter all these languages separated with underscore on your DMA command line, with some stuff around, like dmake space OpenOffice underscore e n us underscore e cs underscore e n l underscore d e and so on. I do not remember the exact syntax. Sorry. But just ask me where I'm. So I'm finished. I'm sorry that the build part was so short, but I think the first part was more important. So if you have any questions, you can ask me. Yeah, Kai. I don't think so, but I think we can create an issue for someone to describe it.
Does someone know about the page?
Yes, the naming. I was talking about the child workspace demo 67, and if you actually want to check the source code of demo 67 child workspace, you can't use demo 67 as a tag name or as a branch name. You have to use another name, and sometimes the name can be quite strange, but it's very easy to just run a CVS log on some file you know from that CVS and grab for demo 67, and you do not have to guess how the tag name can look like, but there is a system in it, of course. For example, I'm using another build system, but its purpose is different from other build systems available. Overall build is created by Linux distributors, and they want to integrate everything and their grandmother into their builds. So they are testing stuff there and so on. Of course, Hamburg Release Sanctuary can't use this system because they are creating the stable stuff. My build system is used for localizers who currently do not have a method to check their translation stuff. We as a project, OpenOffice.org project, do not have a regular way to merge translations back into the source. The current process in Hamburg Redis engineering team is not optimized to be able to work with so fast merge round that the communities are using. For example, check team is so active that if we have new strings, we have them translated in a day or 2 days, and actually we have to put them somewhere, and we want to see the result. So we have to use. Build system to provide builds with this, but my build system is the same as one of build. I just run configure and so on. But I want to make it a bit simpler because all these pre-requirements are in the system, and I do not have to download any DLL files because I have one line wget that file, and I do not have Mozilla source code because I download it and so on. So this actual is build guide transferred into the script. It is not. Yes, of course. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
Can just able to
Yes.
So you don't need compare all the packages. You can selectively.
Yes, that's true. But unfortunately, people prefer to use their methods to work, because if you are doing stuff regularly and you do not have to do anything else, it is much easier if you only depend on your problems, not problems brought by other people. And this is the reason why I'm still using my build script. It's quite large right now, but it helps me to build on other systems. I need to provide build to localizers. So I do not see a way to work with all build, for example.
I just want to tell you.
Yes.
Yes,
if you download all build from CVS at the right time. I want to be able to work when I want to, and I want it to, that the right time is always, or the problem is my problem. Yes. Okay. Yes, you're right. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much for listening.